Well, I can tell you that two of the freshman members of Congress from Michigan, Alyssa Slotkin from the 8th Congressional District, Haley Stevens from the 11th Congressional District, both held by Republicans before 2018 midterms, both voted in favor of the impeachment inquiry. But as I said earlier, the hot ticket's going to be who can vote no on articles of impeachment, which will happen, and still leave Nancy Pelosi with the 218 votes she needs. We'll keep an eye on that. Nicole Neely is the president of Speech First. Speech First Victory for Students and Campus Free Speech, that's part of a settlement reached in its case against the University of Michigan. Nicole, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So good to have you here. So give me an idea. Tell the people about this case and why it's so important to you.
Sure, yeah. We sued the University of Michigan last May. It was the first case that we launched. And we sued the school because they had a couple bad policies in the books that we felt had both the purpose and the effect of chilling student speech. So students were refraining from discussing topics like politics or religion because they credibly feared getting dragged through a disciplinary hearing by the University of Michigan. And as a result of that, they were just refraining from engaging in those discussions altogether. They had a very overbroad, vague definition of bullying, of harassment, and then they also had a policy in place called a bias response team, where students were encouraged to report on each other anonymously.
Wait a second.
Somebody said something they felt was biased or hateful.
But if you're contacted by the bias response team, isn't that implying that you're biased to begin with?
Exactly, and that was something that the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals found, that it's the bias response team, it's not the alleged bias response team. It was, yeah, that you're basically, the whole name of it sounds like you're guilty.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, how voluntary does it feel when you get an email from the school saying a complaint's been made against you, come in? You know, this really, it overlooks the power dynamic between a student and their school.
What did colleges become so immune to the freedom of thought? Well, when did colleges become a place to be indoctrinated, not educated? That's my real question.
Yeah, isn't it troubling? I mean, you know, we have, I've talked to some people who said, well, you know, you really should have given the school a heads up. And I think, well, the heads up is the First Amendment. You don't, I'm not really sure what notification you need beyond that. It's right there. It's in the Constitution. But, oh, well, that's why we have to go to court.
Well, right. But this is a big victory for your organization. I mean, this is a big step forward for you guys, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's exciting to settle it. We agreed to a set of terms that we think are good. The school has revised its previously unconstitutional definitions of harassment and bullying and said we'll never return to the previous definitions. The school has abolished its bias response team altogether, replacing it with a campus climate support program that doesn't punish students. Even if you are accused of saying or doing something that is hurtful, they're not going to contact you. They will only support the students who complain about you.
Campus climate support, is that what you said?
If the program is used to chill speech, then we have reserved our right to sue them again in the future.
Sure. Campus climate, what did you say?
Campus climate support team.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
sounds like a real conservative wrote that group's title. But obviously it sets a very important precedent, right, for other schools, because Michigan's not alone. Michigan, you went after Michigan on this one for the reasons you laid out, but other colleges around this country try to do similar things, do they not?
Right. Yeah, the Sixth Circuit gave us a terrific, terrific ruling at the end of September, and one of the things that they pointed out is that the school tried to change their policies during the course of litigation to moot the lawsuit, to make it go away. And the Sixth Circuit called them out on doing it in a hasty, frankly, disingenuous manner. And so this, I think, puts schools on notice around the country that trying to do that, just trying to make the policy go away, is no longer that, you know, that's going to be viewed really, really critically by the courts going forward. And I think that's really important because what we've seen over the past, you know, 20 years that there's been litigation in this area is that a school, when they're under scrutiny, changes a policy, and then they backslide. That's actually one of the things that the University of Michigan did. The University of Michigan had one of the original political correctness speech codes on the books, and they were sued in 1989. It was struck down, and here we are 30 years later. And so why should these schools be getting this deference? Oh, well, you changed it. You're a state actor. Let's trust you. No, let's not trust you.
But your performance says otherwise.
What's going on here.
Yeah, your performance says otherwise. All right, but for your organization, that's why I think that it's important that the lawsuit Speech First Incorporated versus Schlissel, the president of the University of Michigan, it really puts teeth into it when you go after another university or you point out the mistakes or disparities that you don't like from other universities, they say, well, wait a second. These are the guys that, you know, won the case against the University of Michigan that was very well defended, obviously. So that has to give you some leverage, some strength to say, listen, we're playing for keeps here. What we're saying is real and has been accepted by the courts. That's the point that I'm making.
Yes. No, I appreciate that. We do have ongoing litigation still against the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and University of Texas at Austin. And so you're right. This hopefully will, you know, hopefully those courts will pay attention to what their colleagues up in at the Sixth Circuit did.
But despite your litigation against Illinois and Texas and so forth, you don't have any illusions that this progression towards, you know, crippling the First Amendment, or in some cases trying to, you know, just remove it altogether, that's not going to stop.
No, I mean, there are so many discouraging polls that come out about, you know, what students believe the First Amendment says and what it protects, their support for free speech in general, you know, views that speech is violence, that, you know, it is right to meet speech that you disagree with violence, to shut it down, censorship. So, it's, you know, like that saying, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. This is definitely something, you know, I thought, we'll do this for a couple years. How hard can it be? Who doesn't like the First Amendment? And now I'm thinking, wow, this really might be my life's work at this point.
Yeah, it might be your life's work because, you know, I've got a couple of friends here I got a couple that I talked to about this particular topic. And I said, you know, the First Amendment's under attack. Oh, it is not. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Where do you live? Where do you operate? What papers do you read? And then I found out they read the New York Times and the Washington Post. I'm like, okay, that explains some of it. But
yeah,
the fact of the matter is,
dies in darkness.
Yeah, well, America dies in darkness. And
right.
The darkness of the minds of those in the media that don't do their jobs. But, I mean, there's a big challenge on college campuses. It's not just in this sort of the bias response team. The attacks are coming from all sides, aren't they?
Right, yeah. So it's, illiberal professors and faculty who don't believe in airing different viewpoints. It's, students, you know, holistic student programming, the student life division, students who get bad grades because they don't espouse the same view as their professors. So it's just an all-on assault kind of at every step of the way. And so while our lawsuit certainly opens up space for dialogue on campus, I hope that brave students at Michigan and around the country, frankly, you know, it's one thing to have the rights, it's another thing to use them. But I think it's so important that students do, because even if it feels lonely sometimes to espouse those beliefs, I think it's important to do so, because then it makes other students who have those views, even if they don't open their mouths about it, it makes them feel not as alone.
Exactly right. Nicole, always appreciate you being here. Look forward to talking to you again. Nicole Neely, the president of Speech First. Congratulations on the big win, an important win.
Thank you.
It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Monday. Quick break. We'll be right back.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy. They do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. Every Army National Guard member serves not only to protect the nation, but also their local communities, so they each have a stake in the security and well-being of the neighborhoods where they live and work. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. Since the early days of our republic, the Army National Guard has continued its timeless commitment to guarantee peace and security for all Americans, a proud legacy which has endured for nearly four centuries. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. Selfless service, it's what inspires the men and women of the Army National Guard to be part of something greater than themselves. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Michigan Army National Guard. Aired by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters and this station.